Item number six is an application for subdivision and rezoning for 15-55 Rothwell Road under file DASZ 7 of 2008 from an M3 industrial district to an M2 industrial district.
And the first speaker, of course, is Joan.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, in accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing.
Okay, my name is John Pearson. I'm with Shindico, and I've got with me Grant Heckel from the numbered company that owns the land and have owned the land since approximately 1999. And we're in front of you today with an offer or a I'm in front of you with the application to pursue the rezoning of this land from M3 to M2. Notwithstanding that Grant and his partners own the entire 19-acre parcel, the parcel is currently zoned M3. The portion that we have in front of you illustrates where we propose, or where they propose to put an office building on the site. We're the brokers, just simply assisting him with this exercise. Shindico is not an owner of this parcel, not won't be an owner of this parcel, and it's the existing landowner who's owned the land since '99 pursuing this, building the building, and we're putting an occupant into the building. Proposed occupant. So the I guess the administration report came forward to us for our review with the client, and they have retained or had some discussion internally and feel comfortable with most of what's in that report with regard to services, water, sanitary extensions and their contributions towards those on Rothwell was fine. And I guess there was also a request for a contribution to the city toward to defray your internal administration costs, and I believe that to be fine. It's about $1,600. The major and the access being only off Rothwell, if you look at the site plan that's attached there, that's the intention. Already, we weren't expecting to pursue anything off of Keniston. The one item that did catch our attention and concern was the reference to the developer paying 25% contribution towards the signals. Well, the developer is, in essence, the owner that's owned this land since '99, and they've been running a trucking distribution. Third-party distribution facility out of that property, and they have a little office building on the property already since '99, and they are simply adding another building on their vacant land. They have about 6 acres of vacant land on the on the property where they intend to construct on part of that vacant land this proposed office building, and they felt that that was not necessarily appropriate to be charging them for a signal contribution when they're simply putting another building on their land, and that contribution towards a signal was not required when they originally built their distribution center and they originally built their previous office building on this land since acquiring it in '99. And also Grant has a letter from the city back in those days when they originally developed this, there was a petition that was brought forward with, I believe, 3,000 signatures on it, and many of their vendors that provide trucking to the facility, etc., stating that it was a dangerous intersection and needed to be signalized by the city. And he has a letter from the city indicating that a cost contribution would not be required by them at that time.
You've got that letter here?
Yes, it is.
Yes, I do. Couple things.
Is there a copy? Okay. Is there a copy that you can give
us? We get a copy.
Absolutely. I have to explain.
That's the original. Could it be copied? Or can we get it back?
No. Are you Grant?
I'm Grant.
Okay, so you guys are making a joint presentation here?
Yes, we are. John's coming along because I've only been in front of this once before, and that was for the traffic light. When we bought the property, we were putting a distribution center on it. Again, 65055 has always owned the properties. Direct Transport, Canada Warehouse, and Canada Messenger, they've always been the operation divisions. However, having said that, it's always been a family organization. It's just my brother and myself. We, at the time, we were contemplating, there was 9 people that are involved in the company that run the company, and we were contemplating putting a head office in Calgary. Unfortunately, we did not. We built it here in Winnipeg. We went to the city for some help on this and everything else. And part of that was they'll put up traffic lights. The province of Manitoba promised to do a few other things and everything else. We said there's just a few little things we want. The traffic lights would be nice. But in the meantime, unbeknownst to me, one of our employees who rides a bike to and from work, who's still with us back, he started a petition because it was very dangerous. We had 2 bad accidents there, and our units do not come out of there. Those are not our units. Our units are based out of 2 other depots in the north part of the city and downtown. The actual depot center has everyone else's trucks are coming in and out of there, and they've had some bad accidents. Having said that, they are coming to us saying, this is just a bad spot, and we built this very large warehouse there. So we went to Pat, the fellow works for us, went to all the different people in the area, got 3,000 signatures, and the city did a study of some sort. And then they approached us and said, we'd like you to talk in front. So I actually came in this room and I talked. I had a safety fellow with me. We gave a presentation on the stopping distance and everything else, and it was agreed with the city engineers that it was not improper distance for people to stop without, because a truck has a right to take those first 2 lanes when it's turning south, and therefore blocking traffic. It is not you cannot tell a truck in the wintertime, with the way some of them look at it, it's a hazard, but it's legal, and that's when the accidents were happening. So they decided we better put a light in there, and that's what happened. So now the light comes in, I get this letter from the city, and I go, the letter says, the city will approve the light. We've heard you at this meeting. We'll approve the light, but and we will get $46,000 from the developer and $140,000 from the city, which is what I said. So I'm going, I'm confused. What does this mean? They go, oh, we have a fellow next across the street from you, Terracon Development, is going to pay $46,000, and the city will pay the $140,000. I said, oh, great. So that's, I pulled the author of the letter. I said, no, thank you very much, and that was the end of it. So now I'm sitting here with this land, and we've been approached twice by Shell Canada to put a fuel depot in there. We do all Shell's work in Western Canada. We have a great partnership with them, and they've been pressuring us to put a fuel dump in there, because they have one out on Lagemodier, and they also have one in the north end. They'd love to have one in the south end, but they really haven't. They're going to put all the capital into it, and what we get back to return investment, we're going, I don't want a fuel dump. You know, our property might go down in value. But I found out I can put a fuel dump there, and I can't put an office building. I go, this is strange. So we have to rezone. And as soon as I rezone, after I've been told I have to pay, I get now hit up, you have to pay. So I phoned this fellow who's been with the city for 40 years. His name is Ernie. Nice man. He's getting ready to retire. And I said, what's going on? And he says, well, we don't want you to rezone and flip the property. I'm going, we've never, in all the years we've had, we still have all these properties in Winnipeg. We've never actually sold anything. He said, well, if you rezone to M2, you can flip it. I said, sir, we're not doing that. He said, I got to protect the city. I said, great, but we're not to zoning it to flip it. And then he says, well, and then I understand. He said, he even knew what company we're probably putting on there.
Grant, can I just add a little explanation to that? It's the entire site is zoned M3, and in order to do a zoning, due to technicalities in the system, I guess, is we can't zone a portion of the site to M2 and get the benefits of the M2 as long as there's M3 on other portions of the same lot. So we have to subdivide the land in order to partition the zoning so that M3 is on the portion where it's supposed to remain, and M2 is on the portion where we're pursuing the office building. So the subdivision is to satisfy zoning requirements and get the benefit of the uses that are allowable within M2, and an office building is not allowable in M3 and is allowed in M2. And so we met with the planning department, and this was determined to be the logical way to pursue it. But we didn't expect to be hit with some of these other responsibilities as part of this when nothing's changing. The ownership's not changing, and this is a, on the old zoning bylaw, we could have built an office building. In this new zoning bylaw, we can't. And so we're getting caught at a transition period. And
right. I apologize, but Ernie was a really nice fellow. I said, he says, if I was still around and everything else for another 20 years, he says, no problem. I wouldn't put that in. He says, but I'm retiring, so I got to put that in. So, nice fellow. And I said, but we're a family. We sort of think. He says, you know what? If there's some way you can tell me you're not going to flip the property, I would have no problem with that. But today is, this is my last week. And so I went, John, nice guy. I see. He says, no, now you have to talk to this committee now. Hence, this letter came
out. I have some questions.
Sure. Councilor Clement.
It's all interesting, but it's all redundant.
I'm sorry.
I actually want to ask some questions.
Yeah.
First one's to you, James. And here on page one, under the, I guess it's the, it's part of the zoning agreement. It says here that the development of any building, accessory parking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, be approved by the director of planning property development for plan approval.
Yeah.
We normally do that at community committee.
Yeah, we put that condition both ways. If it's a contentious project which the public had a strong interest in, we would say approve plan approval at community committee and by the director of planning. But if there's no concerns with the proposed use and the layout, then we just do it approval by the director. Then they don't have to come back to another community committee to get plan approval.
Given where it is and what it is, I'm okay, except I have one question, John, to ask you, or maybe it's Grant, I don't know. It says in here that there will be no mobile signs, poster signs, or A-frame signs on the entire site.
That's the intention. There'll probably be some fascia signage on the building.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, those are those black and orange ones.
I know.
On lot
you know
one.
The ones with the chartreuse colors and all that kind of thing?
No.
On lot one.
I don't like mobile signs.
No.
So, but beyond that, it also says, except that a mobile sign shall be permitted on site for a period of 30 days in association with new occupancy, but you don't really need that for the type of use you're going in there, right?
No.
So if we go full stop after the word site with a period and delete the rest of that sentence, that's not a problem to anybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So the only real issue here, I think, is number three in the Associated Coordinating Group's report, right?
That's correct. And I was just going to ask a quick question on number five. I mean, if they do all their own engineering and provide the city with the engineering, there really isn't any cost of engineering with the city, is it? Am I correct in that, Kim?
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, you'll have to enter into a servicing agreement you'll have to enter into a servicing agreement to extend the wastewater sewer.
Yes.
And you'll need an municipal engineer for that, so...
The intended occupant or is an engineering firm. So
I think Stan Tick will figure it out.
Yeah.
If they want to do business.
I just want to make sure there wasn't additional charges that there was going to be incurred.
No, no.
So, yes, the answer is yes. It's only number three.
Okay. Yeah. Now, in terms of that number three, the issue with the traffic signal, I'm familiar, Mr. Chairman, with the way that this site was originally developed. I was involved in the rezoning hearing. I also was involved in the rezoning hearings across the street, and I understand the intent. And if you actually went down there, first of all, the traffic lights were originally put in because of a dangerous situation with vehicles along there and the speed of traffic. That was the first thing. The second thing is that, interestingly, the 46-7, I guess, came from Terracon, from another development agreement across the street where they've built nine buildings and actually need that site, and they've got everybody in there from soup to nuts just about. There's a gazillion cars going through that intersection every day from the west side, and they probably should have had to pay for a light, never mind $46,000 from a development agreement. But clearly this particular site on this side was dealt with before any of this. I do have a question, though, James, because, and I don't know, I'm not sure why Ernie had a bug in his bed about somebody flipping the property, but is there not any way that we can have a clause attached somehow that if the property changed hands within a certain timeframe, that they would then have to, I think his concern was is that they were rezoning it and flipping it. The intent is not to do that. Can we do that here, or are we not allowed to do that?
I don't know offhand. I haven't seen a condition like that put on.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of an open-ended thing. Legally, that might not be.
Okay. I don't think it's that required anyway, but I thought it asked.
Okay.
Any other questions, Councilor Clement?
I don't have any questions. I'm ready to go with it.
Did you have any questions,
Just a structural question in terms of, you know, I see the diagrams that you provided us here.
Yes.
Is that face, that's the face that's going to be pointed
facing
out
the street?
That will be Kensington?
Kensington, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's intended to be a very nice building, three faces that will look attractive and lots of windows. We're dealing with engineers, quality people in that area.
Good. Thank you very much, Nolan.
Thanks.
And, Mr. Clerk, there's no one in opposition for this. So.
Is there anybody else that wants to speak on this issue?
Can I get a copy of the
letter back, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
Play up the
one. And are you ready to make a motion?
Thanks a lot.
Want a copy? Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I'm prepared to move that the review of the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
Can I take it? No, it's
and that simple. It be amended slightly, and that the
item number 2B
stop after the word entire site, and make that a period instead of a comma, and remove the balance.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
I'll move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor?
And I'll move that the recommendation of the public service be concurred in, subject to number three in the Associated Coordinating Group's report being deleted.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
And I will move, and well, the reasons, frankly, are the light was put in for safety reasons originally. I'm just speaking of that one item. Clearly, there's nothing wrong with this use. It's actually going to fit real nice along there. It's going to provide a real nice-looking building that's going to be very similar to what's exactly across the street. And that's always a positive thing. We can always use the added taxation, I can assure you of that. The other thing is that as far as the light itself, the reason for deleting number three is because the light is already there. The spirit of that light going in had nothing to do with this rezoning whatsoever. I appreciate the administration trying to catch it, but I think that in the realm of fair play, I don't think that it's fair to charge these folks for that. I'll move with the public hearing with respect to this application concluded. Public hearing, sir.
All in favor?
Aye.